It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast. Gabe DeArmond and Brian Austin here. It has been a crazy week on the recruiting trail. Five commitments in 5 days at one point, and so that's where we're going to start. And to do so, we're actually going to bring in a former Tiger first, Jeff Wolfert, who kicked at Missouri. And now, first of all, Jeff, want to give you a chance. Thanks for joining us, and give you a chance to kind of update Missouri fans on what you're doing now and why you have some insight into a couple of these guys we're talking about.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on the show. Right now I'm doing a lot of kicking and punting instruction via private lessons and also instructional camps. And I also host one really large event each year. It's called a College Prep Showcase, where I try to help as many high school kickers and punters go from high school athlete to college football recruit. So I've been doing that for 5 years. I think I'm 6 years out of playing there back at Mizzou. So pretty much started doing this stuff right after my playing days at Mizzou were over. And I did get a chance to, I feel like I had a close hand in bringing Corey Fittoni and recent commits as of a couple days ago, Tucker McCann, into the Mizzou Tiger family.
And you're based out of Kansas City. I know the website is kckicking.com. Just kind of let people know where they could find out a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah, based out of Kansas City, but hosting events in obviously Kansas City, Tulsa, down in Wichita and St. Louis, and I'm branching out into Texas for the first time this summer, down in Arlington, Texas, and partnering with a company called Blue Gray Football, who hosts a national high school All-American football bowl game.
Hey, Jeff, this is Brian. Quick question on Tucker. I mean, when was the first time you got a chance to see him? And then, did you know immediately that this is a guy that was going to be a Division I kicker?
So the first time that I worked with Tucker was last August. I actually hosted my camp there at Fallon Township High School, mm-hmm. Fallon, Illinois, and that's his school. And I had like 20 kids out there, and he came out, and I mean, he had a strong leg. He didn't have the best day as far as makes and misses, but you could just tell he had an extra pop on the ball. And he was really close, just one step away from really starting to blossom. And so I had a close eye on him ever since that event. And I encouraged him to come to my College Prep Showcase, which I hosted in December. And I had 130 kids there, and he came out, and he was hands down the most talented prospect there. The way the ball sounded off his foot, he'd hit 40-yard field goals, and the ball would still be on the climb as it'd go through the upright. And you could just tell, just kind of the way he's walking around, the way he's competing, just that he was something special. And it was that point forward that I really started pushing Mizzou to look into this kid. And I even told him, I was like, look, I know Missouri doesn't have a big history of offering scholarships, especially to kickers. And I know we did last year with a punter. But I mean, it's been since 2003, I think it was, that we offered a scholarship kicker.
Right.
And Coach Allwell, Coach Hill, let me know from the get-go that as soon as Andrew graduated, Andrew Baggett, they really needed a top-notch high school kid to come in and take over. So I said, look, we've got this 2016 guy named Tucker McCann. I said, he's going to have scholarship offers this spring, being just 2015 spring. So I said, he's one of the top guys, if not the top. I think you guys should look at him now before it's too late. And luckily, I got Mizzou interested enough to bring him in January, and they had a scholarship offer for him, and then about a week after that, Alabama came knocking and had a scholarship for him. So mm-hmm. I felt like I at least got the foot in the door for Mizzou to recruit Tucker before everyone else did.
Right. You mentioned the kind of change in philosophy. It doesn't even seem like it's just Missouri, but Alabama offered him, Florida State picked up a kicker out of South Missouri, of offering scholarships to punters and kickers. I'm sure that's kind of something you wish was going on more when you were playing. What do you think's the idea behind that? Have you heard anything from coaches or why they've decided to start offering punters and kickers now?
You know, I haven't heard from coaches why that is a growing trend, but you can definitely see that it is a trend, and that more and more Division I football programs are going out there and getting high school kickers and punters, giving full rides right out of the bat. where that wasn't the trend a few years ago. And I think that is just a testament to all the quality instruction that's out there, and it's really helping narrow the gap between the level of play between high school athletes and college athletes. So, I mean, you can look at these high school kickers and compare them apples to apples to college kickers, and just, you know, all you have to look at is what's their hang time and distances, what is their range on field goals, how high does the ball come off their foot, and you know they're going to translate well. There's a lot less guessing game how well they're going to convert from high school to college.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Talking to former Missouri kicker Jeff Wolfert, and Jeff, one of the things that is hard for fans or media to evaluate is the difference between a high school kid that gets to kick off a block and then he comes into college and is kicking off the ground. What's the big adjustment there, and how much difference does it make?
Well, that's a really good point. It is different to kick off a block as opposed to kicking off the ground, and I think now high school kids realize the importance of converting down to the ground as soon as possible. So, I mean, any kid I'm working with, I'm encouraging them, by the time they're done with their junior season in high school, they should get rid of the block. They should only train off the ground, plan on going into their senior year, hitting off the ground. When they're going into their senior year that summer, when they're going to college camps, hit off the ground. That's all college coaches care to see, because it is true. Some guys just cannot make the transition from hitting off a block to hitting off the ground. It really requires sound mechanics and technique, and if you don't have that, you can get away with a lot of things off the block, and you'll struggle getting down to the ground. So Tucker, I was walking in August when I had him come at my camp. He's a sophomore going into his junior year. He's already off the ground, so he already made that transition, and I could really tell that. Well, okay, you know what? He's already hitting 60-yard field goals. Like, this is very simple to believe he's going to come over and convert well at college level.
Corey Fatone is a guy Missouri signed in the 2015 class, is already on campus, was a great kicker and punter in high school. Sounds like he's going to focus on punting in college. I mean, what did you see from him when you worked with him, and how do you think he projects to the college level?
So, Corey, I saw him 2014 summer in June, and we worked him out on campus there at Mizzou on the grass practice field, and he came out and it was just terribly consistent. He's hitting punts in the 4-9 hang time range, which a 5-0 punt, you're getting looks in the NFL. He's hitting 4-7, 4-8, 4-9. The average, I think, like a 4-7 on the day. And then he's blasting kickoff. He's solid in field goals. And Missouri was looking strongly for a punter. And here he came and showed them on campus what he could do. So I think Missouri got a certain level of confidence in him just by seeing him in person, where I know some of the top kids in the nation, you don't always get to see him in person before you offer him a scholarship, and they had a chance to do this, and I think he's going to do real well. He doesn't have the ideal size for a college and NFL punter. Most of those guys are 6'1", 6'2", and taller, just big, long legs, create a lot of leverage, but he's 5'11", he's super strong and really good technique. So I think he's not gonna have a problem.
They're counting on him to kind of maybe come in and contribute right away as a freshman. And then, Tucker, you mentioned Andrew Baggett's leaving. Tucker could fall into that same category. Talking from your experience, what would you think of coming in, starting right away as a true freshman? I mean, what kind of adjustment are these guys going to have to make, maybe more mentally than actually physically, to get themselves ready to step up and be under the spotlight whenever they get called out onto the field?
Well, I think that's it. It is, are they mentally prepared for it? I know my freshman year at school, I mean, I would like to have said I was ready to go play football and start, but there was still a learning curve for me. I needed to get in the program. I needed to get with the strength staff. I still had muscle to put on, and I really needed to be around my teammates and start, you know, being part of the team before I felt like I'd just go out there and start hitting field goals in a pressure situation. But Tucker, the way he's going to excel is they're actually planning on bringing him in January of his high school senior year. So he's going to get spring ball underneath his belt, then all of summer training, then fall camp before he realistically has to step in and start. So that's going to give him a lot of familiarity with the teammates and the coaches. And he already has the physical tools to step in and be the starter right now. So we're talking 14 months from now, he can continue to develop and start to get that mental competitive edge to be ready to be the starter, because he knows coming in that he's the guy.
Jeff, you mentioned your early in your career at Missouri, and I do want to give fans kind of a chance to look back with you a little bit. And I know you've told this story 100 times. I know you've told it to me because, well, Will Franklin walked up to me at Missouri's camp the other day and said, "Man, you've been doing this way too long." So, you know, guys that I covered are old now. So, but take me back to that freshman year. Give me the real story. How did Gary Pinkel find you? You know, the whole story is he gets you off the diving team and you come in and set records at Missouri. Tell us the story.
All right. Well, first off, Coach Gary Pinkel did not find me. I definitely found him, and I let him know that I was wanting to come onto the team. So I walk onto campus freshman year. I'm part of the Missouri swim and dive team, and I was recruited. And I was recruited across the nation for swim and diving, and chose Missouri a lot based on just the location to where I grew up in Overland Park, but also that I saw that there was a good opportunity, I thought, to get onto the football team, just that there was some instability at the position. So first day of school, I go walk into the football offices, and I heard that they might be having a walk-on tryout. So I tried out. There was about 8 other guys there, 2 or 3 of us. Hit the ball pretty well, but they ended up just not picking up anybody. They really didn't need anyone at the time, or they didn't feel that they didn't need anyone at the time. So I continued training. I go into Coach Yo's office, which was a quarterbacks and was the recruiting coordinator at the time. Mm-hmm. And I just knock on the door every single week. So I knew he had a bag of balls. I said, "Hey, can I borrow a bag of balls? I'm going to go practice my kick." And from the start, it was, I was just a bug in his ear. It's easier for him to say, "Yes, just get out of here," than to probably just say no, because he knew I'd just keep on coming back. So I did that for a whole semester, and I got better doing that. But, I mean, it was not comfortable going into football offices, just a no name, just, you know, trying to stick my head in there and just let them know that I'm here. And then spring ball came around, and I finally said, "Coach Yo, I'm getting a lot better. Are you ever going to come down and watch me hit the football?" And so I convinced him to come down, and right after my workout, he goes, "You got a spot on the team."
Wow.
So I was thrilled. I went and talked to my diving coach at the time, is Jamie Sweeney, and he's still the diving coach. I said, "Look, I want to walk onto the football team." And they looked at me and they said, "You're an idiot." And I go, "Well, I mean, this is something I want to do. I'll keep diving if you let me, but football, they gave me a spot, and I'm going to have to commit to them fully, and if I can dive, I can dive. If you won't let me, I can't." So they're like, "Well, you got to make a decision, but if you go the football route, you don't have a spot on the diving team anymore."
So what was
then,
the... Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So then Coach Yost finds out that there were some issues going on with the swim and dive team, and that really I was a good diver, and they thought it was in the university's best interest that I stay with the swim and dive team, considering that I probably won't ever play football or get any starting time. So Coach Yost brought me in. He goes, "Look, you're more important to the university as a diver. I cannot guarantee you any time on the football. I mean, I can't guarantee you a starting position or that you'll ever even play." And I just looked him square in the eye and said, "If you don't let me walk onto the team, I'm going to transfer and play somewhere where I can." Then he goes, "All right, that's fair enough. You're on the team." And then Coach Pinkel found out later after I was on the team, and I was really starting to show them I had what it took to be the starter. It was once you named me the starter that he realized that I didn't really have any football experience at all other than just practicing on my own.
And, okay, first of all, what was the harder conversation to have, the one with your dive coach, the ones with David Yost, or the ones when you called home and told mom and dad you might have to pay for school for a year or two?
Well, I was fortunate to have a family that was completely behind me. They supported my dreams and ambitions, and we're going to find a way to make it work. And, I grew up just a huge football fan. I was always really skilled soccer player, but just never had the size to go play football. And just as I was leaving high school and entering college, I finally hit my growth spurt, and I was big enough to play and be competitive. So it wasn't the time to hold back and have regrets later.
Well, and I remember that the first fall camp where, you know, obviously that Missouri had a returning kicker, and, you know, everybody goes into fall camp and goes, "Okay, what spots are open?" And none of us had really considered that the kicking job might be open. And then about 2 weeks into camp, we're all going, "I don't think we've seen this kid miss yet." I mean, did you have belief that, hey, you come in and take that job year one and end up having the career you're having. I think you've still got the two highest scoring seasons in Missouri history.
Did I dream that it was going to pan out the way it did? No. I absolutely thought I could at least get a starting position and earn a scholarship. But, I had to be solid to take over that job. It was not a position, like you're saying, that was really open, and I had to make it absolutely clear that I was best for the position. And so really to do that, I couldn't miss. I couldn't afford to miss. And I pretty much did that. And, I mean, I don't know if anyone really remembers, but after training camp, they set the roster or the starting the depth chart, and they had the current starter as the current starter again, and I was number two, and that was a tough conversation. I was really kind of down. Coach Pinkel said, "Look, you're our second guy. We'll put the other guy on a short leash, but we feel like you didn't do enough to win the starting position," which, you know, I was really fresh at that point. Then the very next day, it was Adam Kraft that was the number one guy. Mm-hmm. He missed three straight field goals, and I made all mine in practice, and had a conversation with Coach Pinkel again. And he goes, "You know what? All right, we're going with you. We're not looking back."
And was that the year you went on and didn't miss a single kick?
Well, I didn't miss a single kick in Big 12 play. I did miss the kick in non-conference.
Well, so you could have been better, is what you're saying.
Right, right. I think I was 18 for 20.
Take your career at Missouri, obviously. I think a lot of people look at that era as kind of the breakout of Missouri football. What one game, one moment, whatever stands out to you as you look back on it?
From a team perspective, or just when I felt like I was really comfortable kicking on that stage?
Either one. Just kind of when you look back on your college career, like that's the day you go to and say, "Man, that's the best memory I had at Mizzou."
Well, my best first memory that's really going to stick with me is probably hitting a 54-yard field goal at Nebraska. So I was a sophomore, first year. It was one of the very first. It might have been the first conference game that we played at Nebraska, and so hitting that kick, I felt like, okay, I got some room to breathe. Like, I can do this. I can do this just as well as anyone. And then I started trying to be the best, not just being the best on the Missouri football team, but trying to be the best in the country.
Now, I don't want to take up your whole day, but this is interesting stuff. And, you know, obviously you follow the program, everything. Do you know Andrew Baggett well?
Yeah, I do. When he was a senior in high school, he actually came through my college prep showcase. And at the time, Coach Hill had already recruited him, but I've helped him along the way. And he helps me actually run some of my camps, too, as a assistant coach. So, we're close.
All right. Now, take me through the mentality. I've said for a couple years, I really respect Andrew because, you know, the relationship football players have with the media, you guys don't want to talk to us a lot of the time, and we understand that. But the night he bangs the one off the upright in the South Carolina game, I gained a lot of respect for him because he came out and he answered the questions on Monday and never has really ducked one. But take us through the mentality, and maybe if you feel comfortable with it, any conversations you had with Andrew coming back from something like that to do what he really has done, which is be pretty solid for the last year and a half.
He's experienced it all, the highs and the lows. There couldn't be probably any further low than he reached after that South Carolina game. I was there in the stands, and you could just hear the just air sucked out of everyone when we missed that kick. A lot of guys would have just probably crawled into a hole and never peeked back out. But like you're saying, he faced the critics. He answered people's questions. He was even more determined to get better, not let it happen again. And he's able to, there shortly, I mean, probably within 7 or 14 days, he had to come out and make I think it's a game winner versus Tennessee, and then also make a few other really big kicks and some critical moments.
Just want to wrap it up with this. Since you graduated, obviously, outside of 2012, Missouri's been on heck of a run, changed conferences, two straight SEC title games. I mean, a few years removed from it now, what are your thoughts on where this program's at and kind of the level that it's reached, which I'd say probably started back in around 06?
Well, when we made the transition from Big 12 to SEC, I had the same questions that everyone in the media, all the fans had. How were they going to transition over to the SEC? And, you know, and it was real daunting, and I couldn't answer one with any confidence. and how we were going to do. And I thought it was going to be a real big struggle. And I'm not pleasantly surprised to see how well Coach Finkel and the team was able to come out and prove that they are a top contender in the nation, whether it's in the Big 12 or in the SEC, it didn't matter. And so, I mean, I can't say I saw it all along because I didn't, but that's a true testament to Coach Finkel and his staff and the way they recruit to make sure that they get the best guys in the program that's the best fit for the program, and they're able to develop them and make great football teams year in, year out.
All right. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you taking the time, man. Once again, kckicking.com. For anybody out there, one of my biggest regrets as a parent is I should have either taught my kid to be a left-handed pitcher or a kicker, and college would be a lot cheaper here in a couple of years. So check out kckicking.com. And, Jeff, thanks a ton, man.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, once again, Jeff Wolford, former Missouri kicker, and he's worked with Corey Fittoni. He's worked with Tucker McCann, and I've been doing this 12 years. I'm not sure there's a more fascinating story than what Jeff Wolford did leaving the dive team, although I did find it amusing that he said, listen, Gary Pinkel didn't find me. I found Gary Pinkel.
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, it is. I mean, to go from a sport, I mean, swimming and diving, so different from football, to go out there and just be working on your own and finally have to tell Coach Yost, hey, you need to come out and watch me. I mean, I don't think I would have had the intestinal fortitude to do that. I think I would have given up a lot sooner, but yeah, it is remarkable. So it's neat to have guys that were in the program and have left and they're still working with guys and helping them out, and then be able to come in and share all the information with us to kind of get fans a look into what goes into the recruiting process, especially for positions like kicker and punter, where you don't really hear a lot about them. I mean, the kid who committed to Florida State, I mean, committed out of the blue. No one had really heard about him. They offered him a couple of days before. We all kind of knew about Tucker McCann. Missouri had been recruiting him for a while. They'd offered him quite a while back, been impressed with him. But it definitely gives you a whole other perspective on it.
Yeah, that's kind of my big takeaway from that conversation with Jeff is, I mean, let's be honest, if Jeff Wolford doesn't walk on the football team, I'm not sure Tucker McCann is really on Missouri's radar, you know, and recruiting is relationships. And obviously Jeff Wolford invested in this program and so went out of his way to kind of help Missouri out. Not that Gary Pinkel and his staff don't do their jobs well, not my point at all, but always helps to have somebody in your corner. Now we're going to turn to another one of the recent Missouri commitments here in this busy week, and we're going to welcome in Jason Howell, who covers the state of Texas and also Louisiana, does a lot of work down in that area of the country for Rivals.com. Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you taking some time, and just want to ask you, kind of give you a blank canvas here. Missouri picks up a commitment from Trey Baldwin. Houston area, I know we've got him as an athlete. Missouri sees him as an outside linebacker. Tell Missouri fans kind of what you know about this kid, what you've seen out of him.
Well, Trey's a guy who actually played last year at West Orange Stark, which is a smaller program in the state, but very storied. You got guys like Earl Thomas is now with the Seattle Seahawks, you know, that are from that area and have done some great things. And he played running back. He played some linebacker. He did a little bit of everything for those guys. Real productive guy. You see a lot of athleticism in what he does. Tough runner from the running back position. Got some good speed. He's kind of a bruiser guy, but he's also got some versatility to his game. You know, so he showed off some nice hands at times throughout the year. And then on the defensive side of the ball, which is where most schools were beginning to recruit him, you know, he's, again, a very physical guy with some unique athletic gifts, great size, 6'2", 223. We got to see him at the Speed and Skill Challenge in Houston this spring before he made the move over to Cy Falls. And really, he moved very well. He's still learning a lot about the linebacker position, a bit of a raw prospect, but you have to like the size, the way he moves in space, and just the physical play that he brings to the position. So there's a lot to work with out there with a guy like Trey Baldwin.
Did he work out exclusively at linebacker at the Speed and Skill Challenge?
Yeah, He worked out specifically at linebacker there with right alongside guys like Dejon Harris, who's committed to Arkansas, Giovanni LaFrance, who had an Oklahoma State offer before he decided to stay closer to home and commit to Tulane. And then Michael Divinity was out there as well, you know, and he was a guy, like I said, just a smooth strider. He's very quick, but he's a very fluid athlete. I guess that's what I'm really trying to say. You could just tell by watching him run around that, you know, he's got something special going on.
I want to throw you a little bit of a curveball here, Jason. We posted a picture of Trey wearing his Mizzou gear on our board yesterday and immediately got two or three responses that said, not about the kid's game because this is way too much pressure to put on a kid, but just looking at him, he looked a lot like Sean Weatherspoon looked physically coming out of Jasper High School. I mean, facially and everything, you know, almost could have been mistaken for a picture of a 17-year-old Weatherspoon. So I think that's kind of the comparison that every kid that comes out of Texas and plays linebacker, Missouri fans say, man, I hope he becomes that kid.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to deny what Weatherspoon brought to the table out there in Missouri. I mean, All-American career, first-round draft pick. You hope every linebacker you recruit turns into that. But I tell you what, Trey's probably got Sean on the side. I want to say
Sean was like 195 coming out of high school.
But I tell you what, Sean probably had a better nose for the football and more instincts at the linebacker position than Trey does coming in. But you see a lot of athleticism there, definitely from the same area. I mean, Jasper's not that far away from Orange, Texas. So, you know, where Trey is originally from. So, yeah, definitely from the same area, a lot of athleticism, and, you know, a lot to work with there for sure.
Gabe mentioned earlier you covered the Louisiana area as well. Missouri got a commitment from Kayron Beham from West Air not too long ago. I mean, have you had a chance to see him? Do you know much about him?
Absolutely. I've had a chance to get to know Mr. Beham over the last few years. I got to see him as a sophomore. I saw him last year as a junior. He's a guy that spends most of his time at quarterback there, John Ed. And you talk to people in New Orleans, and when that kid was, you know, going into, you know, coming out of park ball, everybody plays park ball in New Orleans. And coming out of park ball, he was a guy that, everybody thought was going to be special. He was one of the better kids at all the high school, you know, where was he going to go play high school ball, what district, and everything like that. And, he's played quarterback there at Arrowhead. He's been recruited mainly as a safety and a wide receiver on the college level. He's got a really nice build to him. He's a big, you know, kind of a – got some thickness to him, he's very athletic. He's a guy that does a little bit of everything for his high school team. So just like Trey, you're talking about two guys that can really go in and be developed and really turn into some special ball players.
You mentioned he's kind of getting recruited all over the place. I mean, what would you say if you were projecting your coach, where would you put him at? What do you see his best position as?
I've seen him more at receiver at different camps. And watching him at quarterback, it would be hard for me to take the ball out of his hand. He just does so much. He's a bit of a playmaker there with the ball in his hands, and he's shown the ability to run some really good routes and get separation and things of that nature. But again, like I said, you're talking about a guy with a little bit of thickness to him that he's not afraid to get physical, and he can really do some damage out there as a strong safety type. And he has the ability to add to your coverage schemes as well. He's not just a guy that's going to come down hill and fill the alley and knock somebody's head off. He can do a little bit of both. So you know, I don't know exactly where. What is Missouri recruiting him to play?
They like him on offense. It sounds like I've heard running back and wide receiver. Honestly, so it sounds like it's going to be offense.
Yeah, like I said, it's just hard to take the ball out of his hand, and he's a guy that can add a lot to either side of the football there. But I'd be hard pressed to take that ball away from him just because he is able to make some plays.
Gotcha. You mentioned you saw Michael Divinity at the Speed and Skill in Houston, and he's a teammate of Bahams there at John Arrett. I know it sounds like LSU's kind of the team to beat with them. I talked to Michael briefly at the five-star challenge, and he said he gets along with Pat Washington, the recruiting coach from Missouri down in Louisiana, and he thinks he'll come up he plans to come up to Missouri and take a visit. I mean, does Missouri with the teammate in already, do they have any chance, you think, maybe of pulling Divinity up from there? Is it LSU all the way?
I don't know if I'd say it's LSU all the way. I know A&M's done a great job. He's keeping an open mind. I'd watch out for, you know, the Florida States of the world out there. But, I think having Bam on the team, you know, in the commit list is definitely a plus. I know Arkansas is a team that he kind of likes, and his cousin, Dejon Harris, who's teammates with Bahams and Divinity there at Arrett. You know, they're pretty close. So, you know, the Razorbacks could be a bit of a factor there as well. I would consider it a long shot for the Tigers with Divinity. But, I tell you what, you see a lot of those guys stick together. And they've all kind of talked about how great it would be to be able to play together, but I don't know how much of a real world thing that's going to turn into. I think he's going to end up at, you know, LSU, Florida State, Texas A&M seems to be right there in the mix, that's kind of what feeling I get from those guys.
Couple more with Rivals.com analyst Jason Howell. Jason, Missouri's got a couple kids from Manvel, Texas, up here the next few days. Lineman McKenzie Nwora is up here today. And then Jordan Carmouche, a defensive back, I believe, is coming up on Saturday. I know McKenzie's been on a tour of, like, the entire country, I think, the last 5 or 6 days, visiting Missouri today. But just kind of a quick thumbnail on those kids.
Well, I love McKenzie. He's a nasty offensive guard prospect, obviously very very strong in the pass protection aspect of his game, and he likes to mix it up too. I mean, don't let that Manville system fool you into thinking he's a finesse guy. He's definitely got a bit of a mean streak to him, good size, the kind of guy that's very smart kid. Carmouche, we've got him as an outside linebacker, and he's got some really good size to him. He moves really well. He was one of the better linebackers in coverage at the Speed and Skill Challenge. Obviously, he gets a lot of that practice going up against guys like Reggie Hemphill and just all the athletes they have out there and Manville. But, he's a guy who moves really well in space, real comfortable in pass coverage, and he's a guy that has a great nose for the football from his linebacker spot.
Wrap it up with you, Jason, with kind of a broad question. Missouri fans had a lot of concerns over the last 2 to 3 years with the move from the Big 12 to the SEC. Missouri took a few resources out of Texas, still recruited the state, but not like they did when they were in the Big 12. Seemed to be getting into that area again a little bit more than they had been the last couple of years. Is that the sense you get, that Missouri's got a little bit of a renewed kick in Texas here in this recruiting cycle?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know if I would say they ever left or really lost momentum, but like you said, kind of de-emphasized it a little bit. They're definitely a player for guys. I think everybody can see what Pinkel and those guys have done over the last several years and the way they've developed players. And let me tell you, regardless of what region, these These kids are smart. They see who's putting people in the league. They see who's recruiting guys that are, you know, not necessarily the national big stud recruits and developing them and turning them into big stud, you know, NFL prospects. And Missouri's kind of got a reputation as a school that can take a kid that may be a little bit under the radar or need some work in an area or two of his game, and they can coach him up and turn him into a really good prospect. So, you know, that definitely has attention of kids across the region that I cover, which includes Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. And, you know, Missouri offer carries some nice weight to it.
Yeah, we need to get you working harder. I mean, you only got four states, and Texas is like four states on its own. So.
I know, man. I tell you what, it's like I just chill on the couch and eat Cheetos all day long. That's good.
Hey, it's a good life if you can get it, man. Appreciate you taking some time, and we'll let you go get another bag of Cheetos.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good one. Jason Howell, Rivals.com analyst down in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and wherever else we need him. So appreciate him taking some time. And those two interviews both went a little bit longer than we anticipated, so we're not going to spend a lot of time wrapping this up. But, Brian, it's been like 49 hours since Missouri got a commitment. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, I know. They're falling off here. It was an exciting few days for Mizzou fans, starting with Trey Williams on Friday, going through the weekend with the two cornerbacks, Bryce Banks and Christian Holmes, and then Tucker McCann, and then ending with Trey Baldwin on Monday. So, I mean, I know beginning of the recruiting cycle, Missouri fans were really worried about the fact that Missouri didn't have any commitments. I mean, we all kind of knew that Natarius Strong and Greg Taylor were in the fold, just wasn't able to confirm until later. Tristan Castillo kind of got it going a little bit. And then, the last few months there's been a lot of action with recruiting. There's been stuff going on, it seems, every week, either a bunch of offers going out, kids coming in to visit. There's a lot for Missouri fans to look at and follow.
Yeah, I've been doing this 12 years. This is lesson number 12. Don't worry about recruiting in April because it just doesn't matter. Not that it doesn't matter, but you get my point. I want to take just a minute to kind of acknowledge Jason Howell. And, our regional guys take a lot of heat, and I get it. But, listen, we're sitting here talking about one team, and I'm having a hard time remembering the five kids that committed. Jason Howell just rattled off kids like a freaking computer that I've never heard of. That's a lot of kids to cover, man. And as I always say, we're not perfect, but I feel like our guys do a better job than anybody else, and appreciate Jason and Josh Helmholtz been on this podcast, Rob Cassidy, a number of those guys. So, Brian, one more camp to go, right?
Yeah, the Missouri's got the team camp going on right now. Some teams coming in. I know Francis Howell's here, St. Joseph Central, Oakville, Lebanon, some other schools. We'll be out there watching to see who stands out. There'll be some Renegade teams. I know it sounds like there might be a few more Renegade teams this camp than there were at the first camp. We're heading out there right after this, going to see who's out there, who's looking good. Last team camp, Missouri extended three offers, Bryce Banks, Trevor Trout, and Deron Davis from Hogan Prep. You never know what can happen when you get these kids. It's such a difference, I think, for the coaches when they get to see them in pads, making plays against other football players. As the one-day camps are nice. You get to see how fast kids can run, how they can jump, how they look throwing the ball in T-shirts and shorts. But when you get them in pads, it's way easier for the coaches to go ahead and make a decision that, hey, we need to go ahead and offer this kid.
And these camps, you never know. I mean, we look at the list of teams and go, yeah, I don't know if there's necessarily any D1 prospects here. Well, I can't even remember what a year it was. I want to say probably about 05, 06, something like that. I was out at one of these team camps, and I had a guy walk up to me and go, hey, man, you need to watch my kid. The Missouri coaches have really liked him. He's an offensive lineman from a small town, and I'm thinking, I'm sure he's really good. I'm sure you've got a D1 prospect on your hands, and we just don't know about it, right? Turned out the kid was Tim Barnes, so I probably I needed to listen to Dad a little bit. You never know what you're going to see. So we will have full coverage of that camp. Want to thank Jason Howell again. Thank Jeff Wolfert. Some great stuff, not only on his career, but on kind of his role in getting a couple of these kickers on campus. Once again, I want to give Jeff a plug if I can. KCKicking.com. If you've got a kid, again, teach him to kick field goals. I watched my kid's high school team last year.
Or long snap.
Yeah, yeah, could have used one of them. So, yeah, long snapper, field goal kicker, left-hander with a curveball. Those are your three goals as parents. And we're going to wrap it up this week and hope to be back next week on the PowerMizzou.com podcast.